Our next guest was a third round selection, 44th overall in the 1979 NHL entry draft, one of the deepest drafts in NHL history. He went on to play 1,300 NHL regular season games, 231 playoff games. He won three Selke trophies. He won three Stanley Cups. Guy Carboneau joins us. Guy, welcome to the show. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good, Jason.
Now, you know what's funny? I was looking up at your career, and I totally forgot. Like, I know you won your first three trips to the Stanley Cup Final, but your last game was actually in the Stanley Cup Final when you guys lost to New Jersey. Like, we talk a lot about guys retiring and winning the Cup. Did it make it even harder to walk away having lost the Stanley Cup for the first time ever?
I mean, it's never easy. I think, you know, we all know how long the playoffs are. And how hard it is to, you know, once to get in the playoffs and after that, you know, get through four long rounds. But, you know, I was 40 years old. We had the chance to win the Cup the year before in 99 with Dallas. And then, you know, to go back to the final was pretty pretty awesome. And I already had made my mind that, you know, around Christmas, you know, I sat down with my wife and, like I said, like I was 40, I was getting a little beat up. I think, you know, the day of the game was not a problem. I think it was just the off days that, you know, was getting a little longer. I had less and less patience. So, you know, I think after, a little bit after Christmas, I, you know, like I said, I sat down with my wife and I said, listen, I think this is going to be it. After this season, I'm retiring, and she said, well, you know, take your time, think about it. And we lost in overtime against New Jersey, like you said, and right after the game, I threw all my equipment in the garbage, and that was it.
Now, you mentioned your patience wasn't there. A patience with what?
I don't know, just about everything.
Okay.
You know, I think just like I said, like the day of the game, I was still like a kid, like a 20-year-old, you know, getting up in the morning. I one thing that I did with Ken Hitchcock is, you know, I had no problems playing the game. I just didn't want to practice game day, like the morning of the game. So I would ride the bike a little bit and then, you know, be part of the meetings. And then I just had my meal and my little nap and, you know, just starting to get excited around 4 o'clock for the 7:30 game. And then like, but you know, if we had 2 days or 3 days in between games, it was just a little drag a little bit. I just, you know, I think I had less patience with the people and, it was just, I think it was just the perfect timing for me to, you know, right after the season to say, that's it.
Guy Carboneau joins us. Guy, when you went to Dallas the first year, Bob Gainey was a head coach for a bit.
Yeah.
Then Ken Hitchcock came in, and of course, you guys had a lot of success. You were a veteran player, and Hitch has a reputation of being a real hard-ass coach. Mike Modano joked about it that you being the veteran guy were one of them that was kind of by osmosis, maybe the guy who, when something needed to be said to the coach, you were usually one of the guys maybe barking back on behalf of the players.
I don't know if I was barking back, but, you know, I had enough experience. I've been through a few coaches in my life and you know, had the chance to win two cups with Montreal. Had the chance to play with guys like, you know, Larry Robinson and Bob Gainey and Guy Lafleur and guys that had really a lot of success and knew how to win. So, you know, Hitch was a strict coach. I think he had, you know, I wouldn't say one track mind, but he had one thing in his mind, and he didn't want to go around it. I think defense was the most important thing, and so he had a game plan, and he wanted everybody to follow it. I think he was harder on the younger guys. He was not as much with us, but, you know, I think we had a veteran group. You know, we had guys like Mike Keane, Joe Nieuwendyk, guys like Brett, myself, and a couple of guys like that when it was time to kind of calm things down, we had a lot of talk between, you know, this group and Hitch, and I think things overall went pretty good.
Guy Carboneau joins us. He will be in town next weekend for the Alzheimer's Pro-Am tournament. It's a great event. I know last year you were a fan favorite with the people. A really good storyteller, Guy. How many times do you lace up the blades now a year?
I've kind of been lucky. Like here in Montreal, like we have the Montreal alumni plays. The team plays probably 45, 50 games during the year. Every game is to raise money for charity.
Okay.
So it's either, you know, we play in the province of Quebec, sometimes in the Maritimes, a little bit in Ontario, and maybe one or two trips out west. But so I have a chance to play anywhere from, you know, 10 to 20 games a year with those. And then, you know, across the country, there's tournaments like next week in Edmonton. There's I just did one in Ottawa. I think there's one in Toronto. There's one in Calgary, Winnipeg. So, you know, depending on the year, we have a chance to play one or two of those things. So it's that's another four or five, six games each time. So it's, you know, I don't want to be a professional, but I enjoy being on the ice. I enjoy being, you know, get back on the road with the guys and be on the ice with the guys, and it's always a lot of fun.
What's interesting, Guy, is I think a lot of people, when they think of Guy Carboneau, they think, you know, excellent defensive player. He won the Selke Trophy, and when they think Selke back in the 80s, it was just about a defensive player, even though you scored 26 goals. But I think they forget that you had 182 points in 72 games in junior, 72 goals. Yeah. You know, in the American League, your first 2 years, you had 94 and 88 points. You were a real offensive player up until the NHL, and even in the NHL you were a good offensive player, just not the dominant one. How difficult was it for you when you went from the Q to the A and then to the NHL? Like, when did you realize, okay, you know what, I might not get to be the top end elite scorer that I've been my entire career up until now?
I think, you know, my first two training camps in Montreal, like the first time, you know, I didn't expect to stay with the Canadiens. I didn't, you know, I was still young. I was 19 years old. Not a lot of young guys would come up with the Montreal Canadiens, especially after winning four cups. So I knew I was going to go back into the American League. They talked to me and said, you know, this is not juniors. You're going to play against men. You got to work on playing better defensively. And, you know, I was like everybody that, you know, dominates in junior. You can pretty much do anything you want, and, you know, you don't really have to kind of worry about defense. So even if you lose the puck, you can always get it back sometimes. So you know, when I went back, in the American League, things went well offensively. Second year, I was a little bit more upset because I thought I had a good training camp. I had a really good season in the American League, and they told me, you know, pretty much the same thing. And so I went back in the American League. We had a new coach. It was John Brophy, who I got along really well. He helped me a lot, you know, kind of made me realize what I needed to do. He said, listen, I know you're upset. I'm going to help you here. I'm going to tell you when the scouts are coming. But you know, all you have to worry about is prepare yourself to play every game and show the others. At the time, there's only 21 teams at the time. Mm-hmm. So I said, show the other 20 teams that you deserve to play in the NHL, and, you know, they won't have a choice to keep you in. So that's pretty much what I kind of concentrate on my second year in the American League. You know, things went well offensively, but, you know, worked on defense. And then my first year in Montreal in 82, you know, a bunch of veterans there, so I wasn't playing that much. And I was hoping to kind of, you know, show what I can do offensively. But and then a couple injuries, started to kill penalties with Bob Guiney. I started to play on the same line with him, and then Jacques Lemaire came in the next year, and, you know, being a good offense and defense player, he just took me apart and said, listen, I want you to play against the best players. You're going to have to be careful defensively, and that was just history after that.
That's got to be very confident, to give you a boost of confidence. A, you know, a legend in Montreal folklore comes to you and says, I want you to play against the best players. And just your internal competitiveness must have been like, you know what, I don't care if I sacrifice goals. That means I'm getting on the ice lots and I'm going against the best.
Exactly. You know, my first year, I played with Chris Nyland and Steve Schutt, and we probably play anywhere from 2 minutes to 5 minutes a game. So, you know, for somebody that was used to play 20, 25, I mean, sometimes 30 minutes, it was a little frustrating. So, you know, when Jock told me what I needed to do, and I just didn't even think about it. I knew I was going to be on the ice for at least 20 minutes a game against the best player, which is always a challenge. And, you know, I was able to kind of recover a lot of the mistake they made and turn it into goals and points.
Guy Carboneau joins us. He'll be in town next weekend for the Alzheimer's Face-Off Tournament. This year, it's in Edmonton at the Terwilliger Rec Center on Saturday and Sunday. Feel free to come down, bring some stuff. The players are always more than gracious to sign. And if you want to donate, you can go to alzheimersfaceoff.ca and make a donation there. Now, Guy, you played in the high-scoring 80s era, which was, you know, a lot of people look at it and, you know, maybe one of the greatest eras. There were so many gifted players. Obviously, the Edmonton Oilers really kind of revolutionized how to play offense. You didn't face them a ton, but you did see them a few times a year, and as a guy who had to go up, like back then, guys used to shadow guys. I don't know. Did you ever have to shadow Wayne Gretzky in a game?
I did. Like, you know, I don't think I was trying to shadow him as much as trying to be in good position. You know, he was somebody that, you know, compared to a lot of the centers, you know, in today's hockey, centerman is asked a lot, and you know, you had to come back into your own zone and really work deep with the defenseman. I think Wayne really didn't do that a lot. Like, he was he would come back if he had to, but he would rather stay, you know, between the blue line and the red line.
No, we'll do three.
I think Yari Curry was kind of the one that always kind of got back, so I couldn't just stand at the red line beside him. But I think you always kind of worry about where he was. But he was so intelligent. He was his vision was out of this world. And then, you know, you put Wayne on top, but then you had Mark Messier and Yari Curry and Glenn Anderson and Esa Tikkanen, and then it just kept going on. So you had to worry about him, but you also had to worry about the other guys.
Now, Guy, I want to go back to your last year in Nova Scotia with the Voyageurs when you scored the 94 points. You also had a John Brophy as your coach and 124 PIMs, Guy. Was that a reflection that Brophy wanted more, Guy? Were you a nastier player with Brophy as your coach?
No, I think I was. I don't like to fight. I didn't like to fight, but I was kind of got involved in trying to hit, and, you know, I think I was like 165 pounds, so I guess people got upset with that and took a couple bad penalties once in a while. But, you know, I am somebody that hates to lose, and I always say that, you know, I would do everything I can to win games. So once in a while, you get caught and you get bad penalties and you pay for it sometimes. But sometimes, you know, most of the times it kept me going.
I've never asked a player this who played on that 1986 team, you know, kind of a surprise Stanley Cup championship team that year. I still remember Mike McPhee and Brian Skrudland scoring 9 seconds into that game in Calgary. It was unreal. Yeah. But what were your first impressions of Patrick Waugh? And did you know right away that, man, we've got a Hall of Fame goalie. This guy's going to help us get to the Cup. Did you know that right away?
Not really. Like, he had a really, like, you know, when he came up, things were not easy with him. Even the next year, you know, we won the Cup in 86, but the year after, he was struggling a little bit during the regular season. I mean, he was somebody that I enjoyed traveling with. Like, he lived close to my house, so we always traveled together. He's somebody that really understand the game, knew the game. Like, he knew which player was, everybody in the league was, you know, if he was a righty or a lefty. He liked to study. He would get one or goals or two goals scored during a game, and then the next day we'll be traveling, and he would ask me questions about, you know, what do you do when you come out your half wing and, you know, you get a one-timer. So he was trying to study the game at the time, and he was a hard worker. Like, he didn't want to get score. He hated to get score in the practice. So you kind of knew he had something. But, the first year, I don't think anybody knew that this was going to happen.
Did he talk to his goalposts as much as that he seemed that he did?
Well, he had his little ritual before the game, but I don't think he talked to his post during the game.
No, okay.
Unless he, you know, just like every goalie now, somebody dinged the post and then they look at it and they talk a little bit to it. But, yeah, they're a little different.
Now, Guy, growing up in Quebec, for you, I'm sure, you know, playing for the Montreal Canadiens, that'd be the ultimate, right? Like every French Canadian young boy wanted to play for the Montreal Canadiens. Could you talk about the aura of the Habs and when you felt it and how was it passed down from player to player?
Well, I being a kid growing up in a small town, Sept-Îles, all we had was the games on Saturday. You know, today you can watch five games Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, every day. In my days, it was Saturday and it was Montreal Canadian. And, I was a big fan. I'd rather be on the ice outside and play than, watch TV. But, it's always fun to watch those games. And then, when you get drafted by the Montreal, you get a phone call and say, well, the draft is going to be tonight. We'd like to see if you'd like to come and play for us. I mean, obviously it's something that you'd never say no. And I came in at the right time. Like I always say, I came up, they just won the four Stanley Cups, guys like Guy Lafleur and Bob Gainey and Larry Robinson and Steve Schott. And those guys were like unbelievable. And then, not only we had the chance to play with those guys, but every time we had something going on with the team, you had Maurice Richard and Henri Richard and Yvan Cornway and Serge Savard and even more guys that had more success. So, I had the chance to kind of talk to them a lot. They gave me a lot of information, how to be a pro and how to deal with success. And it just made me a better person and a better player at the end.
Looking ahead to next Friday night, the draft. I know I had a chance to talk to you last year a lot about it, and guys loved your storytelling. Are there any players over the years, like you look, and I'm sure you've looked at the roster of guys coming that you maybe played against and never had an opportunity to chat with that you like as a former player, just to kind of pick their brain on how their NHL career was?
Well, I mean, I think Kelly Buchberger, Nguyen Dyke, Wendell Clark, Curtis Joseph, Marty McSorley, Brian Tretti is all going to be there. It's all those guys. Like most of those guys, like Seb Newey, which I had the chance to play with in Dallas. All the other guys, we were competitors in the 80s. It's not like today. Today, they have a chance to know a lot of the guys. They chat, in the warm-up, chat after the game. In our days, these things never really happened. We were more competitive on the ice and off the ice. So, it was fun. Like, I had the chance, 5-6 years ago to start playing in those tournaments, whether it was Edmonton and Winnipeg or Toronto. And, I had the chance to meet a lot of those guys that I competed against over the years and never had the chance to sit down and talk. And those are the memories, and those are the moments that's always fun. Like, we went and played that outdoor game in Boston, and the day before the game, we had a little, little alcohol party before, and all the guys that were there that played in the 70s and 80s and 90s that I never had a chance to see before after that, it was a lot of fun.